Afghan voters head to the polls on Saturday, choosing a new president in what U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry calls a pivotal moment, a historic vote, and could mark Afghanistan's first democratic transition of power. As U.S. and NATO forces prepare to end their combat role at year's end, Mr. Kerry called this Afghanistan's moment, referring to the election process as Afghan-owned from the start. RAND Corporation South Asia analyst Jonah Blank tells VOA's Victor Beatty Afghan voters will be choosing the first post-American leadership for their country since U.S. forces first entered the country in October of 2001 following the al-Qaeda terrorist attacks the preceding September.
Hamid Karzai was the president throughout the period when the United States and the world community was providing security assistance, troops, and an enormous amount of money. That all is going to be changing starting this year. So this election will choose the leadership for Afghanistan as a nation standing on its own, because this is an Afghan election being run by Afghans for Afghans. So foreign parties really should be standing on the sidelines. They should be watching very closely. But ultimately, it's Afghans who will live with the result, and therefore Afghans who should run it. It's sometimes been said that the most important hallmark of a democracy is not the first election, but the second. For Afghanistan, that could well prove true. The first election sometimes is watched by the world community and facilitated by the world community. But a transition from one democratically elected government to the next is an important hallmark in a maturing democracy. That doesn't mean that things will be perfect on Saturday. They were not perfect in Afghanistan's first election in 2009. A flawed election is much, much better than no election at all. And I think we have every reason to hope that this election will be a step forward.
I've heard it said that Afghanistan is ungovernable. The British found that out. The United States seemed to find that lesson out. Is an Afghan leader capable of governing that entire country?
Well, the Soviets found that out, too. So perhaps the lesson is Afghanistan is ungovernable by a foreign power. What is less clear is whether Afghanistan is ungovernable by an Afghan leadership that genuinely represents its own people.
Why is what happens in Afghanistan important to its neighbors?
Well, from Pakistan's standpoint, the border between Afghanistan and its own territories is always unsettled. Afghanistan does not even recognize the Durand line, the line that Pakistan considers to be its border, as a legitimate international division. From Afghanistan's standpoint, there is no agreed-upon border between itself and Pakistan. So naturally, Pakistan is concerned about this. Pakistan also sees Afghanistan traditionally as what it considers to be its source of strategic depth in its contest with India. The population of Afghanistan is a plurality Pashtun, and the Pashtun population spills over into Pakistan. By most reckoning, there are more Pashtun in Pakistan than in Afghanistan. And this is a group that does not really place a whole lot of stock in international borders. So from Pakistan's standpoint, it's not even possible to simply shut the door on Afghanistan and forget about it. From Iran's standpoint, there are similar issues. There are Baluch who spill across the border and some other smaller ethnic groups. There also are a lot of Shia in Afghanistan, most of them Hazaras. And Iran has engaged in proxy battles on behalf of its co-religionists in Afghanistan, and a lot of that has spilled across borders. Russia, of course, is interested because of its historical ties and because of the trade connections. Same goes for Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and other neighbors. India is interested largely because of the dynamic with Pakistan.
RAND Corporation South Asia analyst Jonah Blank speaking with my colleague Victor Beatty.